fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver, the Lone Ranger.
Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor. General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the oat cereal that's ready to eat, Betty Crocker Mixes, and Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, present by special recording, The Lone Ranger.
All over the country, in every direction, all you're doing is the question, and here's what the happy people have to say.
Sure, take champion Bob Cousy, who can really make a basketball do tricks. Bob was born in New York, plays with the famous Boston Celtics. Leads them all in fast break play, and Cousy knows the champion way. Starts his day the Wheaties way. Take Neil Johnston, another great champ from the East. Say, Neil has been eating Wheaties since he was 3 feet tall instead of 6'8". Grew up a long ways on them, didn't he? Mighty appetizing eating. And there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake.
Keep on eating your Wheaties, and you'll be doing an okay.
With his faithful Indian companion, Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse, Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. I'll Silver.
In the hills, not far from the town of Mineville, Arizona, two men rode the trail as they headed toward a certain cabin.
We'll soon get to Benson's place, Jake. When we get what we came for, we'll be on Easy Street.
Now listen, Slick. You got me to come here with you by telling me there'd be plenty in it for me. But you didn't say what we're after.
I didn't want to tell you till we were almost there, for fear you'd say something without meaning to in one of the towns we passed through.
Well, you can tell me now.
Well, just before I met you in Tucson, I stopped at a prospector's cabin to get some supplies and see if he had any gold I could grab. I had a gun him when he made a quick draw, and, well, he was done for. I grabbed his wallet before I left.
Well,
I found a letter in it. Here, wait, I'll show it to you. Here. Here it is.
Read it.
Well, now listen. Dear Clem, when you made up your mind to go off on your own and I couldn't talk you into staying as my partner, I told you if I struck anything, I'd still want you to share it with me.
Sounds interesting. Go on.
It says, I didn't make a strike here, but a professor from the East, he studied rocks and such, stayed with me a while. He used to go off into the hills by himself and be gone sometimes for a couple of days. Well, he got the fever, bad. And knowing he was nearing the end, he told me he'd discovered the lost gold mine of Buena Vista. Said he'd made a map and put it where he kept other papers, in one of five books he had here, written by a fellow named Dickens. Said I was to have the map. He died. Clem, I figure the map is safe where it is till you get here. Then we'll find that gold mine together. Your old partner, Sam Benson.
Holy smokes, Slick. I've heard stories about that lost mine.
Yeah, and we're going to get that map and claim the mine.
But they told us in town Sam Benson's dead. Died a week ago.
Yeah, but the storekeeper told me Benson had no kin, and his stuff was to be auctioned off this afternoon. We'll buy those books and get the map. Let's go.
Get it.
Come on, get it.
the Benson cabin, the auction was about over. The auctioneer was saying...
Well, that's about all, folks. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Here's some books. Read my bid for these five nice, thick books by a fellow named Charles Dickens. Well, make me an offer. One of you must be able to read.
I'll bet 50 cents if you'll throw in that old 10-gallon hat with
him. Told Jed Jackson for 50 cents.
I can use that hat. Mine's kind of beat up. Here's the money.
Here's the hat. And don't forget your books, Jed. Yeah, reckon it'll take you a lifetime to read them through.
I can read some. Anyway, I figure books are sort of friendly to have around.
Yes, well, here they are. And here's the hat.
Yeah, better try it on. Drat it. Just a mite too big.
Well, some folded paper in the hat band will take care of that.
Yeah, that's so. I'll just use one of the papers that's sticking out of those books. There, this one will do. Now I'll fold it into a strip. There, this will do it. That makes it fit better. Now I'll take my books and get along back to my cabin. See you again sometime.
Goodbye, Jim.
A short time later, as the auctioneer was about to climb onto his buckboard, Flick and Jake arrived.
Hey, the auction's over, man.
I'm just leaving. Everything's been sold.
Oh, well, we were told the auction was this afternoon.
Nope, this morning.
Well, I'm interested in books. I was told Benson had a few that some professor left. I wanted to buy it.
Oh, yes. Well, it's too bad you weren't here earlier. Those books sold for 50 cents to Jed Jackson.
Well, do you think he'd sell them to me?
Well, I don't see why not, if you offered him more than he paid for them.
Where does Jackson live?
He has a cabin on the South Trail, 3 miles from town. You can't miss it.
Thanks. Let's go, Jake.
Get up there. Oh, here.
Jed Jackson, thin, stoop-shouldered, but wiry, was an old-timer among the prospectors of the Far West. Like so many others, Jed had found little, but never gave up hope of making a strike. He arrived at his cabin and placed the five Dickens books on a shelf near his bunk. A short time later, he had callers.
A couple of hombres. Wonder what they want. Yeah, all right, I'm coming. Yeah, howdy, gents. Come in.
Hey. Come on, Jake.
What can I do for you?
You Jed Jackson?
Yep. Don't recollect meeting you fellas before.
Yeah, I haven't. I'm Slick, and this is Jake. I heard you bought some books at the auction. Thought you might want to sell them.
Can't say that I do, stranger. Always wanted to have a few books around to dress up the place, you might say.
I'd give you $5 for them.
$5? Well, who told you I bought them?
The auctioneer.
Then he must have told you what I paid for them. I don't savvy why you want to up the price so much.
Just want them, that's all.
You rode 2 miles to town, then 3 miles out here, and offer $5 for something I got for 50 cents. Nope. If they're worth that trouble and cash to you, mister, reckon they're worth keeping.
Don't waste time with him, Slick. I see the books over there. Got a lot of paper sticking out of them, too.
Now, listen, forget the books. Like
then
I
you
said,
won't sell, huh?
Nope. I'm stubborn that way, mister.
And we'll take them, reach.
Hold on. You're not
going to... This'll keep you quiet.
Oh!
Now we can look through the books for the map, Slick.
Each of those books is chock full of papers, Jake. It'd take too long looking for it now. Somebody might come along. We'll put the books in our saddlebags and look through them for the map later. Let's get them and get away from here. Come on. An hour later, Jed came to. He opened his eyes and saw two men bending over him.
What happened? Oh, my head. A masked man. An Indian.
Easy, mister, easy. We're here to help you. We'll not hurt you.
But that man...
We'll talk about that later. We trailed two men here. They must have knocked you out.
Yeah. Fellow named Slick and one named Jake.
An outlaw named Slick Weaver killed a prospector over near Tucson. We learned he met another man, and the two of them left Tucson together. We trailed them this far. Now, Slick is tall and sandy-haired. The other man, stocky and black hair.
Those are the two hombres, mister. They stole my books.
The five books by Dickens?
Uh-huh. But how did you know?
We found the prospector near Tucson, and he lived long enough to tell us about a letter Slick took from his wallet.
Briefly, the Lone Ranger told Jed the contents of the letter. Then he said,
"The map showing the location of the lost gold mine of Buena Vista is in one of those Dickens books."
Jumping catfish. That's why they wanted them. Oh, to think I had a fortune right in my hands and I didn't know it.
Well, Sam Benson has no heirs, so you really own that mine, Mr.
I'm Jed Jackson, mister. Who are you?
Maybe you hear Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger?
Huh.
You?
That's right.
Man alive. I sure have heard about you. Doggone it, why didn't I have a chance to get my hands on that map before those crooks got here?
If you had, Jed, they might have killed you to get it. We'll continue to trail them and try to get the map for you.
Listen, mister.
Yes?
Let me ride with you.
All right, Jed. Let me help you up.
All right. Might shaky for a minute, but I'll be all right. I'll get my hat, then we'll ride after those thieving polecats and get that map.
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment.
Sometimes you just don't realize what a good buddy one of your friends is until he's away for a while. Maybe he's home from school with a cold or something. You look at his empty desk in class and, gee, you really miss him. Well, here's something real nice you can do for him. Take over a big, cheery Betty Crocker yellow cake. The kind that says, "Hurry back soon, we think you're great." A cake like this, of course, just has to be perfect. And you can be sure it will be when it's made with Betty Crocker's yellow cake mix. Your mom will love to bake it. Or you can be a chef and bake it yourself. Any guy can turn out a perfect cake with this mix. All the special things are right in the package. You just add water and two fresh eggs for a perfect cake every time you bake. Cake after cake after cake. It's guaranteed perfect by Betty Crocker of General Mills, Minneapolis. And wait till he tastes that first slice. Mmm, a real He-Man every crumbs delectable Betty Crocker yellow cake. Bake one. It's fun. Now to continue. The Lone Ranger and Tonto, who were trailing Slick and Jake, told Jed Jackson about the map hidden in one of the Dickens books. Jed, realizing a fortune had slipped through his hands, requested that he be allowed to go with the masked man and Indian to trail the two crooks who had taken time to cover their tracks after leaving Jed Jackson's cabin. As he rode with the Lone Ranger and Tonto, Jed was amazed by their ability to find the trail in spite of the various methods Slick and Jake had used to cover it.
Mister, I thought I was pretty good at trailing, but I'd have lost their tracks long ago. You and Tonto sure are wonders.
Well, thanks, Jed. We've had plenty of experience.
That's right. Then lose time by covering track. But me notice them always getting closer to river.
They must be heading for a hideout someplace. They must be smart enough to figure out that the lost mine is somewhere in the foothills near Benson's place. So they won't go too far away.
That's right. Maybe we get... Look, Apache's coming over rise ahead.
Take cover in the woods quickly.
The three men hurriedly took cover and opened fire as a small group of Apaches came over a rise ahead. For a few moments, the Indians fought back. Then they turned and fled after two of them had been wounded.
Man alive. Good thing I didn't try to trail those two crooks alone.
Must have been a hunting party. I think it's safe enough now to go on.
All right. Easy, steady,
fella. Come on, fella.
Get up there.
The Lone Ranger and his two companions continued to trail Spike and Jake. And a short time later, as they rode along a stretch of scrub desert land, Tonto drew attention to a strange haze over the sun.
Look at some. It seems plenty strange.
Yes, I don't like the looks of it.
Look to southwest, Kimasabi. Storm comes.
Dark wall-like cloud reaching to the ground. Tonto, we're in for a sandstorm.
Oh.
A strong wind behind that. We'll dismount and hurry. Both of them. Easy, steady,
Doc. Easy, Tonto.
The ominous black wall moved closer, and the whine of the wind grew stronger as the three men turned their horses back toward the oncoming storm and covered the animal's eyes and nostrils.
Easy, Silver. Easy, big fella. You're all right. Easy.
Then, grasping the trailing reins, the masked man and his friends covered their faces with their bandanas and crouched in the sand. Then the storm struck with full fury. For 15 or 20 minutes, the terrifying sandstorm raged about them. Finally, it subsided as quickly as it had come.
Storm's passed. We'll look over the horses.
Them seem all right. Not hurt by storm.
Silver's fine, aren't you, big fella? There you are. Yeah.
By golly, storms like that scare the daylights out of me.
Me too.
And now the trail of those crooks is gone for good. Reckon we've had all this trouble for nothing.
Maybe, but we'll not give up, Jed.
If I thought we were going to run into any more patches or sandstorms, I'd give up in spite of losing a fortune.
Jed, we're trailing a murderer. He must be caught.
Trail lost now, but we know then head for river.
That's right. We'll ride to the river, then search for a possible hideout. All right, let's go.
Easy. Easy, boy.
Oh.
Just before the storm struck, Slick and Jake had reached the shack, which stood on the edge of a bluff overlooking the river. They sat at a table near a window on the cliffside of the shack and watched the storm pass, then opened the window and started searching through the books for the map.
Well, nothing in this one called Oliver Twist. Yeah, I've looked through this one. David Copperfield. No map here?
Here, take this one. Tale of Two Cities.
All right.
I'll look through the one called 6 weeks' papers.
Carefully, the two men looked through the books, scanning the pages and looking over the loose notes which had been filed in the book. Finally, Slick spoke impatiently.
Yeah, there's nothing in any of these four thrown through the open window into the river.
Yeah. I sure hope the map is in that last book. Yeah, we're getting rid of those. Let's search the last one.
Right. This one's named Great Expectation. That fella Dickens sure did a lot of writing, huh?
Yeah. The fellow who used to own the book sure saved a lot of loose papers. The map's bound to be in that one, Slick, so look carefully.
Meantime, the Lone Ranger and Tonto had reached the river, accompanied by Jed Jackson. A short distance to the south, the river ran into a canyon, so they headed north and rode the river trail in search of the crooks. Finally, the trail led to a wooded bluff bordering the river. Suddenly, Tonto spoke.
Look, Kimasabi, there's shack on edge of bluff. And we see two horses ground hitch behind shack.
That may be the hideout. We'll dismount among the trees and approach on foot. I'll go to the door. You and Tonto approach the windows on the land side of the shack. We'll try to take them by surprise. All right, let's go.
Inside the shack, Slick and Jake were still carefully going through the last book, looking for the map.
Doggone it, we're halfway through and no sign of it. It must be in this book, though.
It better be after all the trouble we went to.
Maybe drawn on one of the pages instead of on a loose sheet of paper. You sure you were careful to look on every page of the book you searched?
Yeah, I was plenty careful.
Well, it's bound to be in this one. We'll look and
see. We shall no move.
Hey, look, a map, man.
He's after the map.
I'm going.
No! Oh, my...
Weaver, we've trailed you from the Texas border.
Oh.
We found the prospector you killed near Tucson. You were wanted for stage robbery, but now you're wanted for murder.
How come a map summary was trailing you, Slick? I don't believe him. He's after the map.
Those are the two hombres who stole my books with the map hidden in one of them.
See, Slick, they do know about the map.
Ah, shut up.
The prospector whose letter you took lived long enough to tell about it. The sheriff of Tucson and his men are searching the hills near there for you. Otto and I decided to continue working alone and manage to keep on your trail.
We'd better search him for the map.
Well, the map must be in this book, but you'll never get it.
Hey, look out! Oh, he threw it out the window.
Too bad, Jed. If the map's in that book, it's now at the bottom of the river.
Oh, doggone it. After all we went through.
Jed, in a moment of frustration and anger, threw his newly purchased hat to the floor.
Oh, paper fall out of hat. Oh, that. I used it to make the hat fit me. Bought the hat at the auction. It was a mite too big.
Oh, wait, Tonto. Let me see that band of paper. Keep these men covered.
Yeah, paper.
I noticed something. Tell me, Jed, where'd you get this paper?
Well, it was taken out of one of the books, so I used it.
Look here. This is a map.
What, huh? A map?
Yes, a map showing the location of the lost mine.
The map? Jumping Jehoshaphat. After all our trouble, I had it with me all the time.
Of all that doggone luck.
We'll take Weaver and his pal to jail in Mineville, Jed. Then you locate the lost mine and register your claim.
Later at Mineville, Slick and Jake were jailed. The following morning, with the help of the Lone Ranger and Toto, Jed located the lost mine and then returned to town and registered his claim. That afternoon in the cafe, Jed was telling the news to the crowd.
Yep. If it hadn't been for that mash man, I'd have gone around wearing that hat till it wore out without knowing I had a fortune in it.
Who was the mash man?
Yeah,
how come he was killing Weaver?
That's what Slick Weaver wanted to know. You should have seen the look on his face when he found out he'd been trailed by the one hombre he could never hope to get away from, the Lone Ranger.
Copyrighted feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated is produced by Pendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Boyd. Listen to the Lone Ranger, brought to you by special recording Mondays through Fridays at this same time.